This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
To episode 127.2. What did you watch this week?
Yeah, 0.2, because we just recorded 45 minutes worth of audio, and for some reason the recorder didn't work.
Yeah.
It said it did. We actually saw on the lock screen and everything It was recording, but then it had 2.87 seconds grand total after 45 minutes of recording.
Yeah, and the only audio heard is one of us saying my cat's name. Vivian.
That's true. That was what it was. Yeah. Which I only said that when I was over at the sink washing my hands because I thought I pulled poop out of her fur.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that was recorded at that point.
And I know at the beginning of the first time we recorded, I mentioned something about Vivian and catnip.
Huh.
So
that's, yeah.
So that's where we're at. So we've already talked for an hour, and it's lost. And so we're going to rehash that stuff, but you're not going to get the same passion you did the first time around.
No, you're going to get the condensed version.
Yeah, because...
So That may be a good thing. You may be going, yes!
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyways, let's just jump right in.
Mike watched The Good Cop.
I did. I watched The Good Cop, and it was good. Next.
We don't need to be that condensed.
I haven't seen Tony Danza on TV that I can remember for the most part since
Who's the Boss?
And then we also discovered, I remember him being in Angels in the Outfield, and then we debated the little kid that was a star. It was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yep.
It was good seeing Tony Danza on TV again. Yep. He's basically, he's the dad in the show, and he spent 7 years in jail for something. We don't really know what per se, but we know he's in jail for 7 years. He just got out recently. His son is also a cop, and his son is as far as polar opposite as he can be. It's oats from the Common Ground Fair. It's hand ground, Addison ground. He's as completely as opposite he can be from his dad, to the point where, like, you know, his dad stole a bunch of sugar packets from the IHOP, put them in the sugar bowl, and when the kid goes to the kid, when his son, who's an adult, goes to get him sugar for
Josh
his coffee.
Groban.
Yeah, he sees that it's, they say IHOP on him, and he refuses to use them because theft is theft. And once you head down that road of doing something wrong, then, you know, you're done for. So it's really good. It's funny. I enjoy it. The episodes are about 45 minutes.
I'm looking forward to watching it. But, yeah, I did not watch any of that this week.
Yeah, I watched that. I finished up Sinner.
As did I.
Yeah. And I'll just to summarize, I thought the first season was awesome.
Yep.
I loved it. Second season, I didn't like as much.
No, I didn't either. I didn't find myself excited to watch the episodes, and kind of dragged.
Even we got the big twist that Heather's dad, Jack, was actually Julian's father after raping her best friend, Marin, the night they had their fight. And, you know, that's who impregnated her. Even finding that out, it didn't do anything. I wasn't like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it didn't feel like the twists in the first season where you're like, oh, my God, it was her all along. This is who she's been remembering. It didn't care.
And you know, we find that, you know, Jack's been paying Vera for 10 years because of the kid. Also, he's the one that murdered Marin at the hotel because she wouldn't listen. And, you know, ultimately... It makes me not care about a season 3.
Right. Yeah. If this is the direction they're going in, I don't care about it nearly as much.
And the one thing that I came away with that really bothered me is, like, they never say definitively if it happened or not, but it is sort of implied that Vera poisoned and killed the Beacon with the same tea that Julian used in the first episode to kill his, you know, who he thought were his parents.
Right.
So I don't know.
We got a couple of weird flashbacks in this last episode. We got one of them walking in the woods, Vera and Julian, and, you know, him pointing out plants and being like, that's this, and it does this, that's this, and it does this. And then he points out the white flowers.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and she goes, that's dangerous. A little bit in your tea and it'll make you hallucinate too much and you'll pass away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that was it. Like, yeah. That, oh, that's how he learned that he could kill them. Who cares? And we also got to see the flashback of, I made this point earlier, Bill Pullman's, you know, interview with Aaron. Vera.
Yeah.
And it was unnecessary. That was like 4 or 5 episodes ago where he lost time. And we finally get to see what it was, and nobody cares. No. It was just him arguing about how he hates his wife or his mother because, you know, she did nasty things to him or made him be there for nasty things. And, you know, it was dumb. I didn't care.
Yeah. It makes me not care about a third season if we ever do one. You watched the series finale of Elementary.
I did. And it was very good. The last season was very satisfying. Had a good villain that was not one of his recurring villains. We didn't get any kind of pullback to Moriarty or anything. But it ended on a good note. Kind of like, what's that one that we loved?
Life?
No. The Person of Interest.
Person of Interest, yeah.
You know, kind of like how Person of Interest got to go out on their own, you know, Elementary got to, and everyone was in a good place, and for the most part, Joan and Sherlock were definitely where they belong.
Hey, I just thought of this, and I didn't make a note of it earlier, so I want to bring it up. You know, Designated Survivor, the one with Keith Sutherland, I thought was garbage. Like,
yeah.
I watched it first, and like, this is just nothing but politics. I don't care about it. And then it got canceled, like, no surprise there. Gee, Netflix saved it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Why?
I don't know.
They'll save that, but not Timeless?
I know. Maybe they're waiting for Timeless to do its movie, and they're going to see how that performs. Maybe they made a deal with NBC.
I don't know.
But, I mean, they saved Lucifer. They saved Designated Survivor. And NBC picked up Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anything's still possible. We'll see.
I want more Timeless.
I do, too. Watched the second episode of Kidding. It was good. I recommend this show. You're basically watching a beloved children's star's descent into some kind of madness because his son was killed and his wife is separated from him. Not divorced, but separated. Now seeing another man. His son, who we found out is a freshman, is, as he said, smoking as much weed as a jazz singer. Odd reference there, but he's kind of going a little bit mad in today's world.
You're saying that, like, his dad said that Jeff,
yes,
Jim Carrey's character, is he's the one that's having trouble. He needs to mourn. He's the one that's bottling everything inside. However, Mr. Pickles, his TV character, is fine.
Yep. Yeah. There were two really good parts. I talked about one of them earlier. I'm not going to go back into that. But his sister, who also works on the show with him, Catherine Keener plays her.
Yep.
She shows up at her daughter's piano lesson. And apparently her husband normally shows up to pick up the daughter at the piano lesson. It's a guy who teaches the piano lesson. And her daughter's like, Mommy, you're here. And she goes, yeah, I had to pick you up instead of Daddy. And she's like, oh, that's great. She goes, how much longer? And the teacher is like, you know, he seems really nervous. And he's like, I'm teaching right now. I can't really, you know. And she's like, why don't you sit upstairs? That's what Daddy usually does. And she's like, what? Yeah, Daddy sits upstairs and he always calls down for me to play louder so that he can hear me. And so she goes home with her daughter and you know, her daughter goes off to her room and she walks over to her husband. She goes, do you have hand sex with the piano teacher? No. Did you get hand fucked by the piano teacher? And he's like, And then you just see her leaving the house. Yeah. Hand fucked.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a good show. I recommend it.
Did you want to talk about Forever at all?
Barely.
Yeah.
So, before this, again, it might be good, it might be bad, but I watched all of Forever on Amazon. It's a new series that came out. It's like 25 minutes long. Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph play a married couple, and I did some spoilery stuff and warned everybody. I'm not going to go into it again because it was a rough show to watch. It deals with relationships. It deals with love. It deals with infidelity. It deals with very modern things, but it's not just dark and twisted. There is some good humor to it. there are some touching moments from this couple, but the first episode is very bizarre. But it's very normal, actually.
Yeah.
And then how the first episode ends is like, oh, huh. But the second episode starts up, and it's very odd. The second episode ends on a very dark note.
Yep.
And the third episode is when the show really starts what it's doing. I recommend everybody check this show out. It's very interesting to watch. That's all I'll say about that. I watched two episodes of The Marvelous Miss Maisel, which I very much enjoy. They're very long episodes. They're like 45 minutes, and
they feel every bit of 45
minutes. Every bit of 45 minutes. Like, I could only watch two of them, and I was like, all right. And that was spread out over 2 days. Like, I watched one, and the next day I watched another one. I'm like, I need to watch something else for now.
And you enjoyed them.
I did.
Yeah.
But, and I really enjoyed watching Tony Shalhoub and, what's his name? They're Kevin Pollak playing opposite each other, playing the two fathers.
Yep.
Tony Shalhoub is Maisel's father, and or Miss Maisel's father, and Midge, as they call her, and Kevin Pollak is her husband's father.
Okay.
And the other one that I watched, the other show that I watched that I wanted to bring up, and I'm going to gush over it again, I watched the second season of American Vandal. First season dealt with somebody spray painting dicks on cars. They did it as a documentary, but it was not a real crime documentary.
Documentary. That's what I was looking for earlier.
Yes, it's a mockumentary, but not in a humorous way. Like, they make it seem like it is a real crime. A real crime was committed by somebody spray painting dicks on cars, and these documentary filmmakers are trying to get to the bottom of it. There's interviews and there's theories postulated. The first season I talked about on the podcast a while back, it was good. I recommended it, but it definitely took itself more humorously.
Yep.
The second season is phenomenal. I strongly recommend it to everybody. You can probably skip the first season if you want. I wouldn't. I would watch it just for the context and to get to know the filmmakers. But my God, the second season was good.
And that is also a fake documentary, but done in a very serious way.
Very serious and very believable.
And what's the subject matter?
The subject matter is a criminal known as the Turd Burglar. And
when you say Turd Burglar, my thought is people come home, buy the house from burglarized, and a guy took a shit on their bed.
Yep.
Or in the middle of their
floor. Or somebody stole
or
shit.
Or something. Right.
You know?
Right.
No, this one has to do with a Catholic school, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this the first time. The first of four events that happened at this school was what was known by the students after the fact as the brownout, where the Turd Burglar put something in the lemonade to cause all of the students and many of the faculty to have the screaming brown shits. I mean, bad. Like, some of them shit their pants right then and there. Some of them shit on the walls, shit in sinks, shit in urinals. And you got to hear all their testimonies talking about this happening. But there were four events total.
Yeah.
And one of them had to do with a piñata filled with shit.
Oh, God.
One of them had to do with...
That's just wrong.
With a pep rally and t-shirt cannons.
Oh, no.
That had cat shit in them. And I'm not even going to talk about the fourth one. Because you've got to see this show. You've got to watch this. It is phenomenal. By the end of it, I had to keep reminding myself that this is fake. Because they did such a good job of selling it as a real thing.
How long is each episode?
About 42, 45 minutes, and there are 8 episodes in the second season. I think the first season was like 10 or 13.
Okay.
But please, people, watch this show. It was so good.
I watched a movie called Manhunt. It's a John Woo flick.
Oh, John Woo. Like him.
I'm a big John Woo fan.
As am I.
Yeah. You know, he gave us Face Off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He also gave us...
I want to take his face off. I could eat a peach for hours.
He also gave us an absolutely phenomenal flick back in 1986 called The Better Tomorrow. And if you haven't seen it, you need to find a way to watch it. It is absolutely amazing. But anyways, this one was a throwback to that older style of movie, like when he first started making films, like A Better Tomorrow and The Killer. It's a gunplay movie, as most of his are. There's lots of gunplay, which is awesome.
Lots of doves flying?
Geez, I don't know. I didn't notice.
That's a big John Woo thing, too.
It is.
You know, the doves fly in slow motion.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Motorcycle chases?
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it's about a a Japanese cop and a Chinese guy who has been set up. And it's pretty great because, you know, they try to work together to solve it. And, of course, the only way they can communicate with each other is in English. So the movie's primarily in Japanese and Chinese. And then there's lots of broken English. And they talk to each other in clever dad style, you know, punny lines. And it's quite hilarious and kind of like eye rolling at the same time. But I loved it. I thought it was a great flick. So it's a Netflix original. That's where you can watch it. It's only an hour and a half, so that's the best part, too.
Don't forget that John Woo also gave us that piece of shit Mission Impossible 2.
He did. But
we had a good rant about that earlier.
But he didn't give us part 3.
No.
Or any other part. Nope. And obviously for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not invited back.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Family Guy clip where they talked about how Jet Li should never talk in his movies?
No.
It reminded me of that when you said the broken English. Yeah. With my wife. And they're like, you know, you're kind of undoing everything that you just gave to our asses. I have to do for audience. It was bad.
You watch some movies?
Yeah. The only one that I'm going to talk about, though, was the one that's in the theater right now, A Simple Favor.
Yep.
It's a mystery where Blake Lively's character disappears.
Yep.
Anna Kendrick is amazing.
Yep.
She is the mom that everybody at school hates. Because, you know, she's the perfect mom who signs up for, like the teacher in the beginning has to tell her, hey, stop signing up for so many things. Like, there's an event coming up, and she's writing her name for all the things, you know, like decorations and cupcakes, and, you know, she's signing up for all of them, and she's like, let somebody else do it, and everybody can't stand her because she's just so alpha and perky. She's got some darkness. Like, there's a darker backstory to her that you find out later, and it earns her a very catchy nickname from Blake Lively's character. But Blake Lively is a very alpha bitch.
Yep.
Like, she works for a designer, and she doesn't mess around. She doesn't screw around. She takes command, and she's very rude and uppity. She tells, you know, Anna Kendrick early on, stop saying I'm sorry. Stop saying you're sorry all the time. It's something that women do all the time. We're unconsciously programmed to do it. Knock it off. It was a very good movie. I really enjoyed it much more than I expected to.
Nice.
I don't think people have to go to the theaters to see it.
Okay.
I think you could see it on Redbox or when it comes out on HBO or whatever, but I strongly recommend. It's a mystery, but it's not too deep. It has some very good elements of humor, like dark humor, because Paul Feig does this movie. It's his, like, he directed and produced
it.
And so, you know, Ghostbusters and several other movies like that. He's a good guy. I like Paul Feig or Paul Feig or whatever you want to call
him.
So, yeah, I strongly recommend this movie. Both actresses are phenomenal. Yeah, there's a lot good going on here.
Awesome.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Trailers. I watched a trailer called Stan and Ollie, and it's about Laurel and Hardy. And
the was called Stan and Ollie.
Because that's their first names.
Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy.
Yes. It looks really, really good. Like, I'm familiar with Laurel and Hardy and who they are. I've seen some of their bits. I've seen, like, a couple of their movies and everything.
I bet most of your experience has been with, like, Looney Tunes characters doing Stan and Ollie kind of impressions. that's me, I know. Yes, in the cartoon
version. I'm a lot more familiar with the Three Stooges because I love the Stooges. And I've seen so many of their shorts. I can't say I've seen them all, but I've probably seen definitely way more than half. And I've read some books about the Stooges, and I've watched a lot of documentaries and everything. And so I'm way more familiar with them than I am with Laurel Hardy. But this movie looks like it's like the tail end of their career. Mm. It's like, from the looks of things, their careers are winding down. They're both older. You know, obviously, Hardy's in poor health. Mm. And it seems to be there, like, they're trying to do a live tour still. So it's like, but anyways, it looks great. It looks really, really, really good. I'm pretty excited about to watch it somehow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly, and who's the other one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't look it up. Well, yeah, I didn't really look it up to see specifically what it was about.
I've read about it briefly, but it's one of those that I'll probably check it out eventually.
Nice. I watched another trailer.
Yeah.
I watched the teaser trailer for the Twilight Zone.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, it's a great teaser. It's only like 25 seconds long. It starts out
because it doesn't need to be any longer.
No, it doesn't. It starts out with just basically like the Twilight Zone music, and then you hear Rod Serling's voice doing like the classic Twilight Zone voiceover, and they're showing some of the, you know, the Twilight Zone visual, like iconography or whatever, you know, like the eye, the twirling symbol, the window closing, all that stuff. And then as you hear Rod Serling doing the voiceover, you kind of start hearing another voice echoing it. And then eventually it's like they basically slowly phase out Rod Serling's voice and phase in Jordan Peele's voice, because he's going to be the new narrator, host of the show.
Host, director.
Yeah, and I mean, after seeing Get Out, which was basically a Twilight Zone episode, yeah, you know, feature-length one, I feel like he could do a great job. So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
And we talked about this a little bit before we even tried to record the first time. Fan toxicity.
Yes.
And what it is there's already a lot of people that are like, you can't have someone replace Rod Serling, but
yeah, you can.
You kind of have to, because like first of all, they've showed Rod Serling in the history of the Twilight Zone tremendous amount of respect in that 25 seconds.
Yeah,
with how they did the voiceover change and everything like that. And you know, Jordan Peele, like, here my theory is, my thought process is like with the Twilight with the Outer Limits, the narrator is heard but not seen.
Yep.
And Rod Serling was always seen, whether correct, it was the Twilight Zone or him doing the gallery episode he did. I can't think of what it's called. The Night Gallery. You saw him on screen.
Yep.
And like in certain episodes of the Twilight Zone, like Alfred Hitchcock, you saw him before and after. Whereas Rod Serling, like they'd have like a little bit of scene and then it'd cut to him standing there smoking his cigarette, looking nice and dapper in his suit, or maybe, you know, he puts the paper down and he's there. That's what I think they need Jordan Peele to do. Yes. They need to have him be in that scene and cut to him.
And I think they're going to.
I hope so.
He seems to be treating it with all the respect that it should have.
Because the fan toxicity that I've read has or heard about has nothing to do with like, oh, it's Jordan Peele, he's a black guy.
Okay.
It's everything to do with, that's not Rod Serling.
And see, there's been a lot of famous changeovers over the right, years that I think Bob Barker being replaced by Drew Carey.
And Drew Carey is still a lame duck to this day.
He is.
Which is weird to me, because he was great on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yep.
And I thought when I first thought he got it, I was like, okay, well, he was good on Whose Line.
Yep.
So he's going to bring that comedy element? No, he's terrible.
Yep. And you know where you're going to see it soon? I guarantee you within the next couple of years,
what?
Alex Trebek is going to be replaced.
Oh, Pat Sajak, Vanna White.
Yeah.
If those shows keep going, yeah.
And people are going to be mad. Oh, you can't replace. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
These people need to go and rest.
Right.
These people need to go and sit down and be like, okay, I'm done.
I mean,
Alex Trebek will always be Jeopardy.
Right.
But make room.
If you talk about Family Feud when I was a kid, it was Richard Dawson. No, Ray Combs for me.
Oh, Ray Combs
for me. Yeah, see, so for you, you go to Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson.
Me, I go to Ray Combs.
And hello, people, sweetheart.
Yeah, and people these days, Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, like, you can.
I like how they skip over the Louis Anderson.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show me.
We're good. The only thing good Louis Anderson ever did that I liked was Life with Louis.
Yep.
A cartoon of him as a kid or whatever. I actually thought that was fantastic.
Yes.
So, you're right. I'm not worried about Peele being the host. I'm actually excited.
I am, like, too.
You know, Get Out.
Get Out and
absolutely amazing.
His work on the Key and Peele show, which is not dramatic like this.
No, it's comedy, but
he has great stage presence.
Oh, and yes.
He can deliver.
Yes.
So, Liam Neeson's.
But so I'm excited about it. And it's on CBS All Access.
That's the thing that downside. I was waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're, once again, they're like, give us your money.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a problem because you start getting into that whole nickel and dime.
You dime yourself, yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, it's like one little thing here, one little. Oh, it's only $5.99. Okay, but when you add that into the other things that I'm paying monthly fees for.
Spectrum now offers, you know, everyone talks about Sling TV. It's mm-hmm. $20 a month. It's streaming. Yep. But Spectrum now offers their own version of that streaming package.
Really?
Yes. You don't have to have Spectrum cable in your home or even Spectrum internet. And I was someone else, I'm trying to think who was telling me about it. It was Paul, actually. He got a free week trial of it to test it out, whatever. I think he's going to cancel it. But I think he was telling me it's like $19.99 a month or $21.99 a month, and you get like a basic TV package. It's cheaper than buying cable, actually. Yep. But it's all streamed online, so you download the Spectrum app on your Roku or your Fire TV or whatever it is you use,
yep.
or your tablet or whatever, and you access channels and shows that way. You can have access to live TV and everything. And there's so many – and you can buy, obviously, different packages to get the different channels you want. But, like, they're offering cable that way now, if you will. So it's not
even – not surprising.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either.
Amazon the other day was – unveiling a bunch of new devices that they've got coming out. One of them is an Amazon Fire DVR, essentially. But it's meant to hook into an antenna so that it records the stuff that you get off your antenna, your live TV, local stuff, and then it can cast it to anything that has, you know, the Amazon Fire app.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So, yep, they're going to have a basic model that has two tuners, so you can record two things at a time, and has like 500 gigabytes,
oh,
and then
shit,
one that has four tuners and a terabyte or something like that. So that's an interesting idea as well. Now, if you get the antenna to pull it down out of the sky.
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Interesting. That legit is interesting.
Yeah.
Because if you got, like, for instance, I get ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox.
Yep.
But, like, I'm at the point now where I'm not home at night to sit and watch a show.
Right.
I watch it on Hulu. I watch it on however I watch it, you know. But that would be interesting.
Because then you could get back to recording shows.
Yeah. Something to look into, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they also announced that they're going to have a microwave that's only $60. So that's about right for microwaves, you know. But it's going to be Alexa-enabled. So you'll be able to say, Alexa, set the microwave to cook for 3 minutes. And it will. And there's going to be a dash button on it. So you press the button every time you want to reorder microwavable popcorn. And then they ship it to you. Yep. I have a number of dash buttons, so it's actually a cool process. But they're testing the waters so that eventually they'll be able to do it for, like, your washer and dryer. You know, so that you'll be able to say, oh, crap, I forgot to turn on the laundry. Alexa, turn on the washer for 1 hour. You know, it'll be interesting. Any other trailers?
You know, this does lead to the home of tomorrow.
Yes.
Which we've always seen fails.
Yes.
Or turns on you.
Yep.
Just want to throw that out there.
Dude, we'll be dead by then.
Think so?
Yeah. That's a problem for future Mike and future John.
I think I probably watched some other trailers, just not ringing a bell.
I watched one, I don't know why I watched it, it popped up in my feed, and I was like, I better watch this. It was called Knuckleball. James Franco.
Okay.
Is barely in it. He plays the father of this kid. Him and his wife take the kid out to Grandpa's house.
Yeah.
Which is a farm out in the middle of nowhere, and Grandpa is played by Michael Ironsides. And Grandpa puts the kid to work.
He's a singular. There's only one of him.
Yeah, but that's his name, Michael Ironsides.
Okay.
Anyway, so Grandpa puts him to work, you know, kind of like a Heidi situation. You know, you're going to do work, and you're going to – and Grandpa teaches him to throw a knuckleball. Well, then Grandpa dies, but the storm's coming in. So the kid, you know, didn't charge his cell phone or doesn't have, you know – the ability to call out, like, he has no service out there. So he goes to the neighbor's house, which is a little ways away, and it's this, you know, 30-year-old guy, and he's like, oh, well, the snow's coming in, so all the phones are down and everything's down, so, you know, you'll have to stay here and we'll go get help later, but let me make you up some soup and crackers and, you know, put some drugs in the soup to knock the kid out. Then the phone rings. So
the fuck is this show you're watching?
Dude, listen. So the phone rings, and the kid realizes that, holy crap. Now, this kid's probably like 12 or 13. So he realizes, oh, the phones work. This guy's lying to me. So he flips the table up on the guy and runs back to his grandfather's house. And then we get the overview, the voiceover of the boy's resourceful. He knows what to do. And it becomes Home Alone. But like a dark and gritty Home Alone where like the guy, the invader gets stabbed and burned and shot a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll never see this, but It basically, when I saw it start to turn into Home Alone and like the kids lining up baseballs on the cellar stairs so that, you know, somebody walking down would slip on them, and seeing the guy, like, his face is all mangled from getting like the shit kicked out of him, I'm like, huh,
this took a turn I was not expecting.
Yes. The only other trailer that I watched, new Netflix series coming out.
Yeah.
The Haunting of House Hill.
Okay.
Yeah. The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, Mike, this is a new Netflix series coming out.
Yeah.
This looks phenomenal. It's this family that grew up in a haunted house, and they're all messed up from it. And we get to see, it looks like, from what I could tell in the trailer, it looks like we get to see them in the haunted house when they're living there, and then later on in life when they're trying to deal with the fact that they, it looks good.
Huh. I'll check it
looks
out.
Really good.
I'm trying to find that trailer.
Oh, you won't have a hard time finding it. It just came out the other day.
Okay.
And I think it comes on Netflix like October 13th or 23rd or something like that. And it's a series. So, yeah.
Did you see the Daredevil poster?
Yes, I did.
With the Avenger Tower in the background?
Yes, I did.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So, I did stumble across this on Twitter.
Okay.
Netflix has a new Twitter called NX on Netflix.
Okay.
It's at letter N, the letter X, and then on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's all about stuff that's coming soon that is in the genre of sci-fi and supernatural.
Okay.
And so they showed us a bunch of clips of older stuff on Netflix that's already there, or maybe some movies that are coming or whatever, but it's all like, you know, like all the Marvel shit, all the whatever. And then it jumps to coming soon. And then they show video snippets, and they don't have any dates, but they show video snippets of Daredevil Season 3.
Okay.
Punisher Season 2. Jessica Jones Season 3. Like, these are like a few second snippets.
Gotcha.
Stranger Things Season 3. A show called The Order. Black Mirror. Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. And then they say coming soon, and they just list a bunch of stuff, but they don't go into any detail, and that's it.
Okay.
So I went back and I paused it and I wrote down some of this stuff. The Order is apparently, it's a 10 episodes about, it's a show, it's 10 episodes long, and it follows a college freshman, Jack Morton, who joins a fabled secret society, The Order, where he's thrust into the world of magic, monsters, and intrigue. As Jack goes deeper, he covers a dark family secret and an underground battle between werewolves and the magical dark arts.
Hmm.
So, Black Mirror Season 5 began filming this in March of 2018.
Yep.
And then Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. I'm sure we've talked about this, or maybe we haven't, but it's a prequel to the Dark Crystal movie.
Yes.
And it's 10 episodes. And Lisa Henson, the daughter of Jim Henson, is an executive producer on the show.
Okay.
And then under the Coming Soon section, they had The Rain Season 2. I think it's some Mexican show.
Okay.
Bird Box, which is an upcoming post-apocalyptic film starring Sandra Bullock, and it's based on a novel.
Okay.
Comes out in December.
Bird Box.
Yeah. Jupiter's Legacy, based on a comic book. I don't know if it's a TV show or a movie. Osmosis, it's a French series. Traveler Season 3, it said late 2018.
I'm still going to go back and watch that second season.
You didn't watch it yet?
No.
Oh, dude. The Umbrella Academy, based on a comic book. I don't know if it's a TV series or a movie.
Okay.
The Witcher, which we've talked about.
Yes.
Apostle. I'm excited about this one.
Okay.
It's a. It comes out October 12th. It's a horror flick directed by Gareth Evans.
Okay.
And he directed Marin 2, The Raid 1 and 2, and Killers. And this is a 19... takes place... It's a period piece. Takes place in 1905. It's about a cult.
Hmm.
Looks really, really good. The trailer I saw looked really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a lot more. Raising Dion.
It's are we still recording?
Kid with superpowers.
I'm paranoid now.
I know you are. Hold on. I am too. It says we are. Okay, yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I still see recording.
Raising Dion is about a kid with superpowers.
Okay.
And I don't,
named Dion, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Lock and Key.
Yes.
Based on the comic book.
Yep, I'm aware of that one.
The OA Part 2, I don't care.
God damn.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah.
Why?
Something called Super Drags. It's a Brazilian animated series. I don't know. Doesn't look good.
Okay.
Daybreak, a 10-episode animated series based on a comic book.
Okay.
And then these last two are the two I'm the most excited about.
Okay. Save the best for last.
Yes. Another Life.
Okay.
It's a movie, I believe. Might be a series, but it's a movie. It's a space drama starring Selma Blair and Katie Sackhoff. Katie Sackhoff's the star.
Nice.
It takes place in space, and it has to do with, it doesn't matter. It's a space drama.
Has to do with drama.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the one that I'm kind of excited about the most of these, the coming soons, because, you know, that we didn't see any footage of, it's a show called Wu Assassins.
Like W-U?
W-U Assassins.
Tell me it's not the Wu-Tang Clan.
Nope. Okay. It's a martial arts drama set in San Francisco, Chinatown.
Okay.
And I can't remember the time frame it takes place, but it's a TV series. I think it's 10 episodes, I believe. And Iko Uwais, who is in The Raid 1 and 2 and Marin Tao and everything, and he's in that, was it Mile 22 or Block 22, the new one.
Yeah.
And he's, anyways, and he's, I'm a huge fan of his. His martial arts movies are awesome. I absolutely love him. So he stars, executive produce the stunt. He's the executive producer. He's the fight choreographer. He's the stunt coordinator. And he's the star of the show. And it just, it's about these assassins from, it's a martial arts drama set in San Francisco's Chinatown involving, obviously, assassins.
Yep.
Like Wushu martial arts assassin shit.
Nice.
Yeah. It sounds awesome.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Thanks.
So, yeah, so that's a bunch of stuff that new Netflix. I followed that anyways, the Netflix, the NX on Netflix.
Nice.
So, what you got?
Did you see the first look at Joaquin Phoenix's Joker?
Jesus.
Named Arthur?
I did.
Garbage.
Yeah.
All of it garbage. First off, the look of him just as Arthur.
Fan toxicity right here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to get toxic about this one. This looks garbage. Just based on the initial preview of him standing there as like with the mousy hair and everything. And then the little spotlight going over his face and making it look like a circus clown.
Yeah.
GFY, go fuck yourselves. I mean, DC, stop. Just stop. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I don't.
Nobody wanted a Joker origin.
No, we didn't need it. We didn't need it.
They're rebooting Charlie's Angels.
Oh, a movie or TV show?
Movie. Now, I wanted to make sure that I got this right. Hold on. Okay. So, Charlie's Angels reboot casts Patrick Stewart as Bosley. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Stewart is in final negotiations to play the role. In the film, directed by Elizabeth Banks, she's cool.
Yeah.
However, there's a twist with this version of Bosley. Banks, in addition to directing the film, will also be playing Bosley at some point. So somehow there's going to be Patrick Stewart and Elizabeth Banks as Bosley.
Okay.
Okay, the new take on the franchise stars Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and newcomer Ella Balinska as the three angels. In the updated version of the story, the Townsend Agency is a global security and intelligence service that has teams installed around the globe. So at least they're updating that a little bit. Disney announced some of their plans for the upcoming future. They said that they're going to give certain characters like Scarlet Witch and Loki, their own TV shows.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know if they're getting the same actors. Like, I would assume that it's going to be the same actors as in the movies, but...
Well, that would make the most sense, because if it's not, then that doesn't make any sense.
But, I mean, to turn around and be like, okay, now we want you to be TV stars. Huh? And granted, it's only going to be on their Disney their streaming service.
Right, and from what I heard, it's supposed to be like 10-episode big-budget stuff like the Star Wars series. So if that's the case, they might agree to it.
Right. Yeah, but if they did like a Netflix kind of thing where they were like, we're going to put all 10 episodes out at once, you film them all at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
It will be.
Disney also made the official announcement
that
as soon as the ink is dry, X-Men and Fantastic Four will be under Kevin Feige.
Yes.
That's
awesome. No, does that include the X-Men?
Dark Phoenix?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or is that after the fact? Are they going to let that come out now? What about New Mutants?
As far as I heard, with New Mutants has been shelved for now. Dark Phoenix has been doing some reshoots. But that's just reshoots. They're still going to come out with it, apparently. And this could be the last one before they reboot it, or they might say, nope, we're going to go right from here and feed it into
just keep running with those characters.
Yeah.
Those actors.
I don't know
how they're going to handle it. Do you think Hugh Jackman will return as Wolverine?
He already said that he would not. But I wouldn't put it past him. I would love to see. He's also said that he would really love to do a Ryan Reynolds, or if he could be a part of the Avengers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think he should be.
I think he should be as well. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Deadpool, though, because Deadpool wants to be R-rated. Deadpool needs to be R-rated.
Deadpool needs to be R-rated.
And the fact that Disney said we will not have any R-rated movies, it puts that in a question.
Yeah. Deadpool needs to be R-rated.
Yes. My biggest hope, though, and this is going to sound weird coming from me, I want Kevin Feige to devote some serious resources to finally bringing the Fantastic Four to the screen the way that they need to be brought to the screen. I finally want a true, honest, good representation of the Fantastic Four, not one that's a one-off movie, not one that is complete frigging garbage, one that fits into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and makes people want to care about the Fantastic Four again. They finally...
That is going to be...
It's going to be a tall order.
Long road ahead.
Yeah. But that's what I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping he grabs hold of that property and says, this is what we need to focus on. X-Men is doing pretty good. We need to focus here.
But the fact is, if it does get under Kevin Feige and they're the ones that are putting it out, you know people will give it a chance.
Yep, absolutely.
They will give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
Because, but man, like, I don't know. They got to do something. You do practical effects on the thing?
Yeah. That's tough.
Or CGI on the thing.
Yeah. Well, they love CGI for the Hulk.
Yeah, but the thing and the Hulk aren't the same size.
They're close.
Yeah.
They've stood toe-to-toe a few times, but I don't know. It's... Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's a good sports movie that you really think needs a sequel, like, 20 years after it came out?
20 years?
Yeah. Something that you're like, you know, this was a great sports movie. I think I need a sequel now at this point in my life.
Jeez, the only one that's coming to mind that I think would be worthy of one, depends on the casting, would be Major League. Hmm. Maybe Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah.
God, I cannot wait to hear what you say. What is it?
I can't believe you didn't come up with Space Jam?
What?
They're making a Space Jam sequel with LeBron James instead of Michael Jordan.
Oh, man. Well, first of all right. If you're LeBron James and everyone's comparing you to Michael Jordan all the time, wouldn't you just want to try to stay away from something like that?
I would think so.
Because they are doing nothing but comparing you to Michael Jordan now if you're playing the Michael Jordan character.
Right. Yeah. My note was, new Space Jam coming. Why?
Yeah.
Nobody asked for this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this. Nobody wanted the first one. It was ridiculous. But, yeah, for some reason they're doing it. And this was interesting.
Yeah.
There was Chris Hemsworth posted a photo on Instagram of himself and Tessa Thompson, you know, Valkyrie, or the one from Westworld.
Yeah.
Wearing very nice dress suits. From being on set of the new Men in Black movie. Now, some people are saying it's a reboot, but the studio says it actually takes place after the first movies, you know, after the first three in the series. So they say it's not really a reboot, it's a continuation. But yeah, they're going to be partners in this one. So Thor and Valkyrie are now going to be Men in Black. It's interesting.
I can.
They look good.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I will too. I'm interested to see.
I gotta say, the last Men in Black movie, where Will Smith went back in time,
yeah,
and he meets up with the younger Tommy Lee Jones, but it's Josh, but it's Josh Brolin.
Yeah,
Josh Brolin was absolutely amazing as a young Tommy Lee Jones.
He really was. Come on, Slick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I good love stuff. That
one. The only other news article that I had. Did you hear the controversy about the people who were complaining that the Captain Marvel trailer, they said that Brie Larson needs to smile more?
No.
Because she looks so serious?
Again, fan toxicity.
Yeah. So I want you to see, I brought this up on my computer. Brie Larson had a good response to that.
Yeah.
So this is what she brought up. She said, well, you think that heroes need to smile more? So basically, she took three movie posters from Iron Man 3, yeah. Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Doctor Strange, and had somebody Photoshop them so that the male characters are smiling. And they're not even like over-the-top stupid smiles. Right. They're just like, it's them smiling, and it's hilarious. She's basically like, oh, superheroes need to smile? Well, how about these guys? Yeah, you're right. It does look better, doesn't it? No.
No, it doesn't.
So she didn't like dive in and get knee-deep in
it's
the controversy.
Stuff,
yeah. Yeah, but that was basically, you know, again, it's the toxicity. They're like, oh, she should smile more. She looks too angry all the time. No.
It's
superheroes.
Right.
Superheroes in general look serious. And
they're supposed to look serious.
Yeah. They're saving the friggin' world. Let them do their shit. That's all I got for news.
Cool. Do you still want to break down the shit out of Iron Fist? Or you want to just gloss over it?
Where are we at?
Well, you know, we did lose that first hour.
Yeah.
We're at 45 minutes.
Let's break down some Iron Fist shit.
All right.
We don't have to, like, go into the minutiae.
I don't want to go into the minutiae. I would prefer to kind of be like, if you haven't watched this, go watch this.
Yep. Yes.
I guess talk to you later. See you next week. Okay.
That was the equivalent of, yeah, piss off if you don't want to listen.
That's not what I meant.
Like, you even leaned in close. You're like, yeah, so talk to you later next week. Whatever.
Yeah, later, fuckers. Anyways.
Yeah. But you want people to watch this.
I want people to watch this, yes.
But remember that it's been out for, what, 2 weeks now?
A week.
2 weeks. I watched it.
It came out, yes. It dropped September 7th. It is now the 20-something.
22nd.
Yes, it's been out 2 weeks. I still don't want to spoil a ton of it, but I don't care, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is we're done talking for this week, so if you don't want to hear Iron Fist 2 stuff, Season 2, then you need to leave now. Yeah. Otherwise, listen at your own risk,
right,
like we tell you at the very beginning of the podcast.
We are going to ruin it.
Yeah.
We can't help it.
Because it needs to be talked about.
It does. So between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, and Punisher, we've actually been able to watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, ep- 10 episodes, 10 seasons, I mean,
yes.
Of these shows.
Yep.
And, you know, we still have more seasons to come out.
Oh, yes, we do.
We've been able to watch 10 seasons of these shows. And I can tell you straight away, Luke Cage Season 1 is the bottom of the list for me.
Yep.
My favorite, it doesn't matter. Iron Fist Season 1 was, Iron Fist.
It was better than the critics gave it credit for, I thought.
Yes. But still, for me, it was,
Yep.
Iron Fist Season 2, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a fun show.
Yes, I agree.
It was a good show.
Like, and it was getting knocked again, and I'm just like, I can't wait to see how much I'm going to like this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't care if you're a comic book fan or not. It was a good show.
Yes.
Rather from the great storyline. I mean, great acting, great comedy. I mean, I thought it was great. Like, you know how normally when we talk about these things and they do something to the main character, like say, I don't know, take the Iron Fist power away from Danny.
From the Iron Fist.
Right, from the Iron Fist. And they give it to somebody else. And usually I go, oh, that's just fucking stupid. You know he's going to get it back. Groan.
Right.
When that happened, I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yep.
Because the storytelling was so good and the way the shows were going, it was so good. I didn't even get frustrated with that. I didn't even feel like, oh, they're fake. I just like, you know what? I'm excited about this.
The only thing that frustrated me about it, and it's a minor dig, is that they built so long on you have to actually earn the Iron Fist by killing the King of Dragons, plunging your fist into his heart, you know, taking on the power.
Right.
And this was like, well, we just get this magic bowl and we cut some skin off a dead Iron Fist and, you know.
And then we mixed it with the current Iron Fist and then we used it to make a tattoo on the person.
Yep.
And then he like used a hand motion on their forehead to suck the power out of them.
Yeah. I mean, at least they went nice and detailed on that. Like
they
really, really pushed into that instead of just like, oh, I'm going to recite an incantation that, you know, was put into place.
You know what I loved the most about this season?
the way it ended.
Okay, yeah, that was cool too. No, Misty and Colleen.
They were phenomenal. Remember how Colleen was great in the first season?
Yes. Colleen was the show stealer in this.
Again.
To the point where, when, and again, we're going to spoil the shit out of this, to the point where Danny says to her, I want you to be the Iron Fist, my initial reaction was like, oh, fucking A, they just killed Colleen.
Right.
This pisses me off. Because yeah. In my mind, they're like, she's not going to get it because Danny Rand is the Iron Fist. Right. He needs to be
yep.
the Iron Fist. And then later on, when she says, no, I don't want it, I'm like, yes. And then Missy's like, you should take it. And Danny's like, you should take it. I mean it. And then finally she's like, I'll do it. I was just like, no way. No,
she's dying.
Yes. And then she gets the Iron Fist. And I was just – and then when the show ends, all right, and not the PS way at the end and not the last thing you see with Danny and Ward, but – it's Ward, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ward Meacham.
Didn't know
Ward and Joy.
Didn't know if I screwed up the shield. But like the last part you see with Colleen, and she still has the Iron Fist. Danny's leaving because of XYZ, because of something he discovered, and he's got to learn more, and on and on and on. And then, you know, for that moment, you left feeling with like, holy shit, Danny really didn't get the Iron Fist back.
Yeah.
Colleen's got the Iron
Fist. And she's doing a damn good job with it.
Right. And then it cuts to, like, her with the sword, and she can make the sword glow with the iron, right?
She's channeling it.
Yeah. And I literally was like, I'm 1,000% okay with
100,000%.
Because Colleen, I literally, as her character, I absolutely loved this season. She was so good. And look, then her and Misty together.
Look at the character arc, okay? Look at Danny Rand.
Yeah.
We learn from season one through season two that yeah. he was a rich, privileged kid.
Yeah.
Parents died, plane crashed in the Himalayas or whatever. Yeah. He goes to live with these monks. They train him. He gets to know Davos, and they become like brothers. And, you know, then he rises up and becomes the savior of Kunlun by yeah. taking on the power of the Iron Fist. Okay. It's kind of a hero's journey. Look at Colleen's character arc.
Oh, yeah.
Starts off as a member of the Hand.
Yep.
Training people, training those who are weaker than her to build up.
But she feels the Hand is righteous.
She feels the Hand is righteous.
She doesn't see what she doesn't want to see.
Right.
Right.
But then when she does, yep. when it's finally shown to her, she goes, nope, I can't be part of this anymore. She doesn't say, you know, and even her sensei is like, you belong to this. She's like, no, this is evil. I see yep. that now. So she redeems herself, trains Danny.
Yep.
Works with Danny, works with Misty, and all the while never, like, going for the glory herself. She's yeah. never out there trying to be the savior of the right. city. She's right. like, I want to lay low. I want to be quiet.
And for the most part, too, like, that's the other big fight is, like, Danny's like, oh, no, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And she's like, no, I don't.
Right.
No, that's not me. She tries to stay out of it, and he really does kind of force her into it.
Yep.
And basically, when Danny admits that, he's not, I'm just going to say, mature enough to handle the Iron Fist responsibilities,
right.
but Colleen is.
Yep.
She needs to take him over. That was basically him showing he was mature enough because.
Yeah. He's like, I couldn't resist the power and I couldn't resist the yeah. cockiness that he got from it.
Right. Because Davos wanted it for all the wrong reasons.
But you know what was cool about that and that I really appreciated was that this was not your typical villain wants it because it's powerful. Davos
yep.
didn't just want the power of the Iron Fist. He wanted to be the Iron Fist in essence. He wanted to cleanse the world of evil.
Yeah.
This is what he wanted. He didn't, you know, it's so easy to see a comic villain that just, you know, they want to take Luke Cage's invulnerability so they can yep. be invulnerable. So they can commit more crimes.
Right.
Davos legitimately wanted to be the Iron Fist. He wanted to be the savior of Kunlun. He wanted to be the savior of the world. He just had a really dark way of going about it.
Right, because he thought, oh, well, I'm going to stop the triads by killing every member of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to start a war with the remaining triads who have now teamed up together by starting my own gang. And, like, he goes to that restaurant and he says, You'll no longer pay for protection to the, you know, the yellow tigers. He's like, yep. I will be providing you your protection and it'll be free of charge. Don't worry. And the guy's like, I don't want to be involved in either one of you.
Right.
And he's like, and Davos is like insulted. He's like, what? He's like, I don't want to, I'm not a member of the Tigers. I want nothing to do with the Tigers. I don't want to be involved with you either.
Right.
Like, I don't want anything to do with you either. I want to stay out of everything.
Yeah. And which is a solid game plan.
And Davos is like offended that he's like, oh, you think I'm just like them? Like I'm a bad guy because I'm trying to protect you from them. I'm trying to protect you, and I'm doing it for free. I'm not going to charge you like they're charging you for this alleged protection and blah blah blah. And he's just like, I don't want help from any of you. And Davos kills him for it.
Yeah,
because his vision of cleaning up New York or Chinatown or whatever is so far to the right of what right is. Yeah.
It's like the extreme. It's I'm going to protect you or I will kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody gets to kill you except for me.
Right. Either accept my protection or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not accept my protection and pay me money.
Right.
Either. So it's almost the Luke Cage aspect of the season two where he's like, in order to make sure Harlem stays safe, I got to run Harlem.
Right. And Davos has a lot of logic behind his thought processes, too.
Yep.
You know, he legitimately believes he's a better choice than Danny.
Yep.
He believes he should have won that fight, but, you know, his father interfered and gave it to Danny instead.
Yeah.
And he feels that he is a much better candidate to wield the power and keep the world safe.
Yep.
He knows that Kunlun has disappeared for now. So he says, hey, you were brought here to New York for whatever reason, so that must be where I'm needed. I'm going to clean up this place because that's where the Iron Fist brought you.
And it's kind of cool because there's this whole backstory with Colleen and her mom and some pirate and this and that, and I'm not going to try to even explain it. But basically, Danny goes on his quest at the end because what he discovers is that maybe the reason why he came to New York the whole time was to get give the Iron Fist to Colleen because, like, her ancestor was the first...
One of the first,
you know, Iron Fist.
Yep.
So she has a, you know, a hereditary towards him.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Okay. So at the end of the thing, we see that Danny and Ward take off in the private jet.
Yep.
And they are going to try to find these answers to, was Colleen's mom, you know, in town?
They're seeking out the prior Iron Fist, the one who was Iron Fist before Danny was.
Right, exactly. And so they're
which could be a very interesting hook for the next season.
Absolutely. And at the end, you know, Ward is trying to talk to these guys and this and that, and they don't like what he has to say. So Danny's got to step in, and you assume Danny's going to be the one to fight him.
Which was funny.
That was hilarious.
That was like, a very funny scene.
Well, I tried.
Yeah, and he's like, now you're going to have to deal with that guy over there. And he's like, seriously, you said you'd handle this. And he's like, yeah, but listen to these guys.
Yeah. I liked it when the guy goes, the guy's like, oh, something about nothing but sake, sake, sake. And Ward's like, well, I just like water, water, water.
Yeah.
You know, like, I thought Ward was a piece of shit in the first season. Mm-hmm. He completely redeems himself this season, you know, and he becomes a likable character.
Yes.
Whereas Joy goes the opposite route and she becomes a very hated character and then tries to redeem herself, but for all the wrong reasons.
Yes. Selfish reasons.
Yeah, all selfish reasons. Yeah. And so I'm really enjoyed Ward's character, especially at the end. Like when he bought the gun off the guy.
Yep.
And then he shoots that guy. you know, that guy in the neck or whatever to save Misty. And he's just like, I don't know. I just enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed him. And
so anyway, they're at the bar.
So they're at the bar. And then the guys stand up and they have guns. And then Danny, like, oh, because they implied that they're the ones that stole their boss's shipment.
Yes.
And so Danny goes, oh, this shipment and its guns, and they pull guns and shoot at him, and Danny pulls his guns, and when he does, he's got two Iron Fists.
Yeah.
And the guns light up and glow, and he, you know, shoots their bullets with his bullets. I mean, how did that happen?
Were we seeing immediately after this, or were we seeing down the road, like, did he find that other Iron Fist? Did he train with him? Did he...
Right.
I'm not sure. All I know is that Colleen's got it.
What I'm curious about, you know, Danny had the one fist.
Yep.
Davos had two.
Yes. But eventually, he had one at first.
Right. But did he have Danny's and then the other dead Iron Fist, whatever? I don't know.
I don't know.
And, like, Danny's is orange. Davos is red. Colleen's is white.
Yeah.
And so Colleen definitely has the Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah.
But now Danny has two Iron Fists.
Yep. I don't know if it's... I think they were talking about that in there. They're channeling it through both of their hands.
Yes.
I don't think that it's like two separate fists. I think that it's just being able to... It's so much power to channel into one hand, but now they're learning the ability to channel it into two, I think.
And into items they're holding, apparently. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just... This was definitely one of my favorite Marvel show seasons on Netflix.
It was great. That's why I was so disappointed when you said you watched the first two.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I didn't watch the rest of it. I'm like, damn it. I got to sit on this.
This may even be my favorite. I mean, it's hard to beat Daredevil season one because it was the thing that started it all. It's like why Iron Man's so good.
Yep.
Now, granted, Iron Man 2 is... Iron Man 3 is the shits. But, like... When it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yes, they try to say the Hulk movie was part of it, and then, but Iron Man was the first. Mm-hmm. And so you go back to that one, and I think that's why I loved the Daredevil so much, because that was the first hallway fight scene. That was absolutely amazing. And then Daredevil season two, you basically had the two concurrent storylines, and the Punisher storyline was so phenomenal.
Yep.
And now I'm excited about what Daredevil season three is going to be about.
Darkness. You saw the PS at the end.
Okay, yes. So at the end, yes. At the end of Iron Fist, after the credits, they do a PS.
Way after the credits. Like, you have to watch the Netflix logo and everything.
Yes. It's right before they do the foreign credits.
Yeah.
You know? But you see Daredevil doing confessional. And he'd rather die as Daredevil than live as Matt Murdock.
Yep. And basically says, let the darkness in. He wants to be the devil.
Yeah. So,
and, I mean, last we saw him, he was buried. Yes. Under that building.
Yes.
We've seen nothing, heard nothing from him. So.
And the poster, I don't know if we talked about it in this episode or the one we screwed up recording before. I don't remember.
Nope, it's this episode.
Okay, but the poster with the Avengers Tower in the background, yep. And then there's another poster with, like, it's like a church steeple thing with the cross and the mask is on the top of it. I mean, I'm excited about Daredevil season three.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Punisher season two.
Yes.
So, I mean, if I were forced, you know,
Don't forget the first season of Jessica Jones with Kilgrave.
The gun in my head, like I'd say I could easily tell you the season I like the least, and that's going to be Luke Cage season one. Probably closely followed by Luke Cage season two, but I don't know, that was way better than season one.
I was going to say, you liked that one.
It was way better than season one. But if I were, I guess I'd go Luke Cage season one, Jessica Jones season two.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Season two. Yeah. I like season one better than two.
Yep.
But I like the Defenders.
Yeah.
That was great. But man, I tell you what, Iron Fist was so flipping good.
And I remember when the first season of Iron Fist came out and we talked about it and we both really liked it compared to the critics saying that they hated it.
Yeah.
It was drawn out. This one was 10 episodes. I think that was perfect.
Yeah.
I really, like you said, I love the fact that Colleen was such a strong character in the first season.
She really was.
Like, I remember ranting and raving about how good she was in the first season and how we really liked her. Then she got a shot in the Defenders. You know, she was an ancillary character, but she was still part of the team.
Everyone wanted the Punisher and Defenders so bad.
I know. And then... Now we get season two of Iron Fist where she's helping. I loved when Danny said, you need to train me. Basically saying, you're better than I am.
Yes, as a fighter, yeah. Well, that's after Davos broke his leg.
Yes. Oh, what a brutal break.
That was, after they drugged him up and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then so basically he's like, you need to train me. And she's like, if we do this, we need to separate everything. I can't be your girlfriend and your sensei.
Yeah, which kind of bummed me out a little bit.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Yep. But they're still together at the end. They said, you know, we're still together. But, yeah. So that was great. And then to see her rise up and at first be like, no, I don't want to be the Iron Fist. I'm not going to.
Oh. October 19th, 2018, Daredevil Season 3.
I know.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be rough because that's coming out. We've got all the regular TV shows that are going to be on. The House on Haunted or The Haunting of Hill House.
The new Halloween flick comes out that day.
It's rough, dude. There's going to be so much.
I know. Between schoolwork and all my overtime, I don't know how I'm going to be able to keep up on shows.
I don't know either.
Truthfully. Truth be told. I may end up dropping some, but I don't know what I'm going to drop.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to worry about Timeless, unfortunately, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, some of them have already been dropped for you.
Fair enough. But, like, I am very interested in that new FBI show.
Yep. I'm going to give all the new ones a couple episodes, including, and I hate saying this, I'm going to watch the opening of Magnum P.I.
Oh,
because
no,
I still like MacGyver.
Yeah.
I like the new MacGyver. I still, this many seasons in, I'm looking forward to it. It's dumb, but it's the right kind of dumb for me. So I'm going to check out Magnum P.I. and see what it is.
We got to go back to Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because we never talked about Typhoid Mary. Alice Eve's character.
What an interesting character.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Much better than I thought.
I love the split personality between the two and how they interacted with the cat with the other characters.
Yep.
And how she was.
It was Mary and who was the?
Mary and Walker.
Walker, that's right.
Her name's Mary Walker. Her name's Mary Walker, but Mary is the timid, oh, happy-go-lucky. Walker is the tough, badass, like, soldier.
Yeah.
And then Walker discovers, you know, from Mary's video that she recorded her that
there's a third. There's another one in there.
And Walker's scared of this third one.
Because of the bloody mess that... Because
she doesn't know how that one's triggered. Like, yeah. They figured out, like, Mary, like, if rain and strobes,
yep,
or whatever, rain or flashing light, that's going to bring Mary out.
Yep.
And Mary knows how to bring Walker out.
Through stress, essentially.
Right, but Walker's afraid because Mary thinks that Walker saved them. Walker knows that she didn't save them and is afraid of who this other personality is that they don't know and or how this other personality comes out. So I'm actually kind of excited to see where she ended up next. Are we not going to see her again until the next Iron Fist? Is she going
to
be
to see her in The Punisher?
In Daredevil or The Punisher or what? I don't know.
Dude, I want to see her in Punisher so bad. I want to see them team up and then have Bloody Mary come out, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think they're going with, is Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go Typhoid, but I think they're going Bloody
right.
Mary.
And well, I don't know.
I'd love to see The Punisher have her just suddenly... A light switch snaps.
Why can't we be this excited about DC shit?
Because...
Between the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yep,
between the Marvel Television Universe on Netflix,
yep,
and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and even Agent Carter,
yep,
you know, like, yes, I didn't like Legion, I didn't care for Runaways, I don't care about The Gifted.
Oh, that's too bad. Gifted's coming back.
Love Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
But anyways...
Holy God, Cloak and Dagger.
But anyways, just... Yeah, why can't we be this excited about...
Well, for starters,
DC shit.
DC, we are excited about some of their TV stuff. We've enjoyed Flash. We enjoyed Arrow in the beginning.
See, I don't even see because of the strict division line they put between the two. I don't count that.
What do you mean?
Like
you don't count that as DC shit?
I'm talking about DC universe, like the movies.
Oh, well, that's because they're garbage.
Yeah,
you know, they come out one at a time. The movies are in love with themselves.
Right.
Their marketing and everything, you could see that these people are jerking themselves off.
Right.
They are so in love with themselves over what they've put on the screen,
yep,
especially Zack Snyder. They just love this stuff so much. They're like, oh, whereas I feel like with Iron Fist,
yep,
they're not sitting there like, we're the greatest, look at us. They're like, hey, here's the story we're telling.
But the thing is, like, I guess in my mind, I'm looking at the fact like these Netflix shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and even Cloak and Dagger, they're all intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
They're all attached, and they're attached to the movies. Whereas, like, you have this the literally very clear line of the DC television universe on CW and then the DC movie universe. And I guess the DC television universe, we don't get excited about is this. Like, I'm excited about John Constantine coming out this season of,
yep,
Legends.
And come on, last season of Legends.
Last season of Legends
was
fantastic.
How cheesy, stupid it was. Dude, think about it.
I still hear Return.
Demon fight a giant stuffed animal.
I still listen to hear Return of the Mac occasionally,
yeah,
and I yeah, it's awesome.
We loved it. That,
yeah,
was the picture that I used for that episode,
yes,
was Bebo versus the demon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, once we leaned into the cheese, it was awesome.
It was the best season
they've had. I didn't even watch the rest of Arrow.
Nope.
I watched all of Flash. I struggled through a little bit of Supergirl.
Yep.
And I didn't watch Black Lightning in any way, shape, or form. But I don't know. I think
it'll be interesting to see when the new DC paid service comes.
Oh yeah, that because like I was about to say, I think it's because like the CW shit is like, you know, PG, if you will,
very PG.
Yeah, whereas the Netflix stuff is basically TVMA, and then the new
minus the nudity,
right? The new DC series coming to the DC universe is R, if you will, TVMA, whatever, you know, because you have Robin saying "fuck Batman,"
right.
So. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. But yeah, they also haven't given us enough,
right.
You know, where with Marvel, you have a full Thanksgiving meal laid out in front of you.
Oh, you really do.
You know, you've got the films,
yeah.
Which are going to be like the turkey and the mashed potatoes, you know, the staples, the yeah. big on their own. You could just sit there and eat the mashed potatoes and you're like, this is delicious. But when you mix it with the turkey and the everything, oh, it comes together like in, you know,
right.
Avengers. And then the TV shows are your little sides, you know, the cranberry sauce, the stuffing. Some people like them. Some people don't. Everybody mixes them up together. Some people go with the sweet potatoes versus the regular.
That's a pretty awesome analogy right there.
But then when you get DC, it's more like, I don't know, maybe a cookout.
Yeah.
You know, you get a bunch of stuff thrown together. It's like a potluck mostly,
yeah.
You know, where people just bring stuff and some of it you're like, I don't think that I'd like that at all. No,
yeah.
I don't think that. You don't know what you're going to get.
And then you sample a little bit. You're like, oh, this is really good. Or you sample a little bit of this and it starts out good. And then you realize, who the fuck puts tuna fish and macaroni and cheese?
Why are there black olives in this?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, Jell-O.
Right. So,
so yeah, they're disjointed.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
Like nothing that DC has put out so far has come together like that. Even though they used the song "Come Together" with yeah. Justice League,
right?
You know, Wonder Woman was phenomenal.
Oh, Wonder Woman was
Man amazing. Of Steel was eh.
I liked Man of Steel.
I liked Man of Steel except for those two parts.
I can justify his actions though, in my brain.
Oh, it wasn't that? It was Jonathan Kent.
Oh,
yeah. When he was like, "No, let me die." So that nobody sees your secret. No, wrong. But the other thing is, you've got your, like, if you look at that actor who plays Iron Fist, I can't even think of his name now.
Doesn't matter.
If you see him in another TV show or movie, you're going to go, oh, it's Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Whereas you see Henry Cavill in something and you're like, oh, it's Superman. Or you say, oh, it's the guy from Mission Impossible Fallout.
Or it's the guy from Witcher.
Yeah. Look, it's Ben Affleck. He's been in like a million things, but he's also quitting Batman. You know, Henry Cavill's also quitting Superman. You know, so they're going to have a new Superman. They're going to have a new Batman.
And then you think Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Oh, Superman.
Yep. Brandon Routh, Superman.
Or
Adam.
Yeah. Or even Dean Cain. Oh, that's Superman.
Yep. Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Batman.
How many Iron Man have we had?
One. Tony Stark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Captain America. One. So, it's not just saying that, you know, it's a different actor each time. It's that we care about these people because they become it. Right. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
Oh, massive. Or, you know what? When he puts on that Sherlock mask, man, he's awesome as Sherlock Holmes, too.
Yeah.
It's hard. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. I completely get what you're saying. Finn Jones.
Thank you. Yes.
Finn Jones. Has he even been in anything else? Oh, he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Wrong Turn 5, Bloodline.
He
was in the new Leatherface movie. I didn't even realize that. He played Deputy Searle.
He reminds me of the older brother on Malcolm in the Middle, Francis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was Loras Tyrell in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. He was Santiago Jones in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Really?
Yep.
Like Doctor Who Sarah Jane?
Yeah.
Dude, that's coming out soon, too.
October
7th. Did you see the new trailer for that?
No, I just avoided it.
The tagline is, it's about time.
I'm just avoiding it. Because I'm going to watch it. I don't give a shit.
It's about time. I don't know if it means it's about time because it's about the Time Lords, or it's about time that a woman was the doctor, or what. But the doctor's
in charge. As long as it's good, I don't care.
The doctor's in charge.
As long as it's good, I don't care.
And it's going to be good.
All right. I think that's good.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this episode to be over because I specifically didn't want to even open up Maniac on Netflix until this episode was over because I want it all. I didn't want to be like, oh, I've watched some of Maniac, but I'm not going to talk till next week. I want it to all be completely fresh. So,
nice.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm at Twitter. I'm a subscriber.
I'm the Quantum Geek 233K.
That's our show.
That's our show. Yep. Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.